Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. How is everybody? You good? Now, I love that. Just you could feel that creative sense of vibration in the room. And, you know, you do vibrate. And you can create vibrations with your words. And when you speak, you know, God vibrates. There's the vibrations of God, but you also vibrate and you send off signals and sound. And it's important that you tune yourself with Him. You tune yourself with your words. You know, the smallest particle they've been able to study is called a quark. And there's some things, I think particles may be smaller than that, but one thing about a quark was when they studied quarks, they realized that when they spoke, they were activated, and they began to move when they were spoken to. So you know that life, when you speak to things, they've done experiments with water. When you speak to water, you can bless it, you can curse it, and it actually affects the color of the water. Water gets affected by bad words and good words, and you know, because words are powerful and there's vibrations, and you especially got to speak over yourself. Isn't it amazing that you're basically a big sack of water? You know, and it's affected. What you're speaking is affecting you and how you're vibrating. You should be always declaring over yourself and confessing the goodness of God and lining up with and agreeing. What He said today was good. What He said today is true. His church is advancing. He's doing incredible things in the earth, and He wants to use us. And it's through that seed. And that seed that comes in us, it's also a seed. The Word of God is considered seed in the New Testament. When you speak, you're loosing, you're declaring, you're loosing seed. So speak. We have a powerful responsibility to change the earth. We really do. I mean, when you really know, I think it was Bill Johnson said, he said, when you really know who you are, the less you desire to be rescued. You know, and that when you really know who you are, your next great event isn't God, get me out of this mess. The next great event is you shifting and changing your world and everything around you. It's such an amazing privilege to be who we are. Hallelujah. Well, I want to jump right into the Word. We're going to start several weeks. We're going to jump into a series on Psalm 103. It's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 103. So we're just going to talk about the benefits of God. And one of the most important benefits you must understand is forgiveness. And, you know, I like that it's the first one listed because, you know, forgiveness, when you really grasp forgiveness and you understand forgiveness, that's when everything else really begins to align itself and begins to flow in your life. So we're going to learn about forgiveness today really quick, and we're going to take communion today, and you're going to experience the blessing of God in a fresh way. All right, so Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I don't know if it's a New Living Translation or one of them says, "Bless the Lord, I tell myself, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything within me, bless His holy name." Amen. Come on, bless the Lord, I tell myself. Everything within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. How many times the Lord says, don't forget, remember this, don't let go of this. I mean, fix this in your heart, establish these things. And the Lord's telling us, don't forget, there are some benefits. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, we're blessed. I think of all these people coming to the south border of the United States, and they all want to get in because they realize if you can get into America, there's benefits to just showing up. There's benefits if you just get in the country, you can get stuff. Wherever we're from, I mean, if you're in a bad place like we are, you get nothing. There's no hope, no future, but you just got to show up in America and you get stuff. People know that about Canada too. If I can get there, if I can get into Canada, if I can just stay there, I know that I'll get on assistance, I'll get help. You just people who are existing in Canada are blessed better than most people in the whole world. There's benefits, you know, and there's benefits. You might work for a company or be in a company. I pastor this church, and our organization, our network of churches, we have a benefit package. I can go a couple times a year, get my teeth cleaned, and I can, you know, if I got cavity, or I just want, you know, perfect teeth. Bless Jesus, that's a good thing. My dentist is always shocked. She says, you know, you're blessed with good teeth. I don't know, I'm telling you. But my wife, anyways, God bless her. So, But, you know, thank God for benefits. You know, when I was younger, I had benefits at one of the jobs I had. I had benefits, and I never, ever went once. Because when you're young, you just don't give a rip. You know, you don't care. Yeah, my teeth will live forever. But, you know, we have benefits. You know, in the kingdom, you have benefits. It says, don't forget the benefits. And I looked up the word benefits. You know what the word benefits means? It means benefits. There's favors. There's things that are yours. There are things that come to you just because you believe in Jesus. You believe it in Jesus leads to other things coming into your life. There's benefits for being attached to the community of believers. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at that. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. And there's a lot of really good stuff going on there. You know, that's the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. He forgives, he heals, he crowns, he redeems, he satisfies. Man, I can't wait to get that out. When he satisfies your mouth with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagle. Man, I'm looking forward to getting there. But, you know, to get there, you first have to have a real strong understanding of forgiveness. David wrote a grace-filled song of celebration, celebrating the benefits of being in a relationship with God. Now, David, I mean, here it is. This would have been a radical song in David's day. David was writing a song, literally, that most theologians of his day would say, that's not right. I mean, what you're saying there, it isn't true. I mean, first of all, forgives all your sins. He's writing radical stuff. He's singing grace-filled songs to a wonderful God. And it really would have been a bit confusing to the theologians of the day. But this was contrary to their teaching. But in their teaching, every year you had to go again and again. You're reminded that you're a sinner. You're reminded that you had problems. You're reminded that I failed again and I got to go back again and deal with this sin issue. And my relationship with God is always in this constant state of conflict. But David's saying, man, God's good. He wants to crown you. He wants to satisfy you, redeem you, forgive all your sins, heal all your diseases. And it was a radical grace-filled psalm in David's day. In Exodus 34 verse 7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon their children and their children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. See, they seemed in the old covenant really focus on the fact that you're screwed up and really focus on the fact that you fail and focus on the fact that you fall short all the time and you got to constantly go through this sacrificial system and going through all of these rules and regulations to try to manage your relationship with God. And sadly, a lot of churches even today, it's all about sin management instead of sin obliteration. And so we come and we get lessons on how to manage your sins, how to deal with your difficulties, how to try to control these failings in your life and get that carnal nature to settle down in there. You're forgiven. You're totally set free. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But a lot of people don't even understand forgiveness. But he is a God who has forgiven all your sins. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Then he said to them, thus it is written. Now, then he said to them, then is important because then was when he was risen from the dead. So he's risen from the dead. He's finished his work at the cross. It says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. That repentance and remission, some translations say forgiveness, remission is a great word, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now read that carefully, please. He did all that he did. He now has finished his redemptive work. He says, now pay attention. This all happened so that now repentance and remission, not repentance for remission. John preached repentance for remission. He preached repentance and then you got forgiveness. Even Jesus in some of his teachings in the old covenant context before the cross, he seemed to infer that, you know, you had to do something to get forgiven. But you see, now he said, now that I'm risen from the dead, now that I have poured out my blood, now that I've paid for the sin of all mankind for all time, there's a new message, there's a new covenant, and you need to understand that now should be declared, that repentance and remission, they are not verbs, they are nouns. Repentance and remission. Before it was repent of your bad stuff so that you can get forgiveness. Now it's repent, align yourself with his goodness and experience the reality of his forgiveness. It's a very different mindset. The church is still preaching you got to do stuff to get right with God. The good news is he accepts you. He's right. He did it all right. Just believe him. And that's what Dan was saying, believe. The big word is believe. But we're still preaching a mixture of believe and achieve, achieve and believe and achieve. And we're on this treadmill of blah, blah, blah. You need to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Remission. Remission. The word remission means to release from bondage or imprisonment. It means forgiveness or pardon of sins. It means letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of the penalty. Go tell everybody you are forgiven. If you believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ, you do not have a sin relationship with God anymore. Sin is no longer the issue. Sin is not your focus. He took sin, past, present, and future. You are, here's the good news, you're forgiven. Not if you do X, Y, Z, Z. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are welcomed. You have access now to the Father because of Jesus Christ. What do I do? Believe what I just told you, and you get it all. Forgiveness must be really clearly understood. Matthew 26, 28, Jesus at the Last Supper, he says, look, fellas, everything I said to this point, think again. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a new way of living and a new way of walking and a new way of experiencing your Father. Are you ready? He said, a new covenant. It is a cup. It is in my blood, and it's a new covenant which was shed for the remission of sins. Not so that you have access to sins being obliterated, but all sin is obliterated at the cross. The only choice you have right now is either to believe it or not. If you believe it, then you can continue to walk in that, but not believing that is really what affects your life. If you believe it, you step into the kingdom of God, you embrace all that he is, and you embrace all that he has. If you don't believe it, that really is the one thing that'll mess up your life forever, not believing that Jesus is who he said he is. That's really all it is. You know, I had a couple kids in my office on Wednesday night, and you know, for them, it was more about the sin stuff, you know? So what about the sin stuff? And I'm like, yeah, well, that's why he sent Jesus. He dealt with all the sin stuff, so all the problems that you might have between you and God, he said, tell you what, just believe in me, and it's all gone. I just got to believe. I'm like, I know, it's so simple. That's why it says you got to come like a child. When I tell this to a five-year-old, they're like, yes, I'm in. You tell it to somebody who's a little bit older, and they're going, come on, what's the catch? We get all messed up. We get cynical, analytical, all that stuff, and we just can't believe it. But you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. It's the blood of my covenant. Acts 13, 38, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Not how to get forgiveness of sins, but it is done. I want to preach to you through Jesus there is forgiveness, the noun forgiveness of sins. Acts 5:31, him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance, to give it. Repentance is a gift. It's not something you're working up or trying to earn. Repentance is a gift. You have the mind of Christ. You have a mind that is now aligned with and open to and wide open to receiving all the good things of God. Repentance is a gift. I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. He said, I want to give to you. Say give. He wants to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And it's never repentance for forgiveness. The new covenant is repentance and forgiveness. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Man. All right, Psalm 103. Let's go back there. Let's look at verse 10 to 12. It says that, I had one more, Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, this is my ministry. This is a summary of my ministry. I have been sent to open their eyes, open the eyes of the Gentiles in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. It's not if you do these things, you can be forgiven. Forgiveness, I got good news. Forgiveness is available. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is available to all. I got good news. Forgiveness is available. That's the good news. And sometimes we're preaching this wrong message, you know, that, you know, you're all messed up. Forgiveness. There is forgiveness for each and every one. All right. Psalm 103, verse 10. If not dealt to us after our sins. You see, David was in a completely different realm, living in an old covenant, but experiencing a new covenant experience. I mean, he literally lived in a place where David set up his worship teams in front of the ark without any veils, without any sacrifices. The only sacrifices in David's tabernacle was praise and worship. David, that was illegal. You can't stand in front of the Ark of the Covenant without any barriers. I mean, once a year with blood, somebody gets to do that. You can't do this. But God allowed David, because he had revelation of what God wanted, he stepped into his eternal purpose and he pulled it right into his dispensation. It's awesome. And he wrote these kind of songs because he was experiencing a new covenant reality in an old covenant experience. So he said, God has not dealt with us after our sins. God's not dealing with you in regard to your sins. God's not approaching you with sin consciousness. You screwed up again. That's not the way God approaches you. He says, God is not dealing with us after our sins, nor rewarding us according to our iniquities. How many think that's a pretty good message? How many think in his day they'd be going, what? What? I mean, every year we've got to do the sin thing. What do you can't say that. You can't say those things. Of course he is. We've got a whole book of rules and a whole book of sacrifices. And according to those rules, you can't say that he doesn't see us after this. Yes. He says he doesn't deal with us after our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, man, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy. I wish we really got that, don't you? So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So great is his mercy. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. And God delights to show mercy. He's happy to show mercy. You don't have to go, can I get some mercy? You go, yes, yes. You want some mercy too? Who wants mercy? I delight to show mercy. His mercy, it's higher than the heavens. His mercy. Now look, for the heavens, it says, so great is his mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Now, you have to see this as linear. Now, I know a lot of you folks, if you're thinking spherical, you're thinking, well, if he's moved it as far as the east is from the west, eventually, if I stay here long enough, my sin will run into me again. But you have to understand, God's not thinking spherical. He's speaking to them in their context, which was linear. And he's saying, you know, here's the east. There's the West. It never ends. I've removed your sin so far from you, you're never, ever gonna see it again. That's forgiven. That's God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is he's not gonna look at you. He's not gonna have a relationship with you at all based on sin. He's not gonna approach your frame in his relationship with you based on iniquity. In fact, when you believe in him and you trust him, he says, I'm gonna take sin and I'm gonna remove it so far from you, you'll never see it again, and it's never gonna exist in our relationship again. It is gone once and for all and forever. Are you forgiven today? Are you totally forgiven today? Are you standing in the noun, the forgiveness, the revelation, the doctrine, God's forgiveness is mine? Now let's talk about his forgiveness. Three things. You ready? Number one, he removes our transgressions. He removes our transgressions. There's three words. He says sin, and he says iniquity and transgression, all in verses 10 through 12. But iniquities are the inward motivation, the heart, the attitude. Transgressions are the outward movement, the hand, the action. See, iniquities are what's on the inside. And you see, in their day, even the Pharisees were saying, well, if you got a bad heart, it doesn't matter as long as you don't act on it. But Jesus came and said, it's all about the heart. It's not about what you commit, it's about what you're even thinking about. And you see, there's iniquities, but you see, if you don't deal with the iniquities, if you don't deal with the heart issues, if you don't deal with the things that are plugging up your heart, eventually you're going to act those things out. So there's iniquities, which are your inward motivations, and then there's transgressions, which are the outward movement. One's the heart, the other's the hand, one's the attitude, one's the action. So it leads to that. But he says, listen to this now. Look what he says about transgressions. I'm going to remove your transgressions from you. I'm going to remove them as far as the east is from the west, completely and forever. They're going to be gone forever and ever. Amen. Has anybody got some transgressions? Does anybody plan on doing a few tomorrow? You don't have a relationship. God has removed your transgressions. You do not have a transgressing relationship with God. You have a father-son relationship. He is nuts about you once and for all. He does not see you through the veil of your failures. He sees you as you are because you embrace the finished work of the cross. Completely and forever. Up in heaven, you have a whiteboard, and it's full of stuff and things you messed up, and it's all there. But you know, when you accept Jesus, it says the blood of Jesus blots it out. It blots out. It removes, it moves away. It totally wipes away. I wish I had a whiteboard. It totally wipes away everything. It's all gone. But here's now another truth. The blood has such an amazing power and a consistency and an attitude in it that you can't even write anything on the board. If you tried to write something on the board, the blood will not even permit your board to not be white. Your board will always be white because the blood has separated you once and for all. He cannot dwell with anyone if they're not holy. He can't dwell with you. He can't abide in you if you're not sanctified and if you're not manifesting the same holiness that he is. But it's his holiness. It's his gift. The gift of forgiveness and the remission of sins. That gift, he has sanctified you. He has cleansed you. He has made you totally whole, and you can't put a mess on the board anymore. That is true. And you know what? That doctrine was simple 100 years ago, 200 years ago, but we got all messed up and we got into, you know, performance religion and all kinds of crazy things. And all depends on how you're doing, brother. It all depended on what he did. It's not something I do. It's something he has done. Hallelujah. Number two, he remembers our sins no more. He remembers our sins no more. Hebrews 8:12 says, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Say no more. Now, remember. Remember means to recall or bring something up for use. Thank God he's a little forgetful. Thank God he's, you know, getting on in age and now it's hard for him. Oh, yeah. I really think sometimes people are like, just... Carl's coming again. He wants forgiveness again. You know, oh, yes. Well, let me just check. I think back in 2004, he really screwed up with that, didn't he? 7 times that year, and he's coming back again. We're still dealing. God doesn't have a big record book or a whole bunch of things. He's not like, man, you screwed up on this a lot. You see, remembering is the devil's job because the devil's an accuser, and he'll always bring that stuff up. And if something's coming in your face, and if past sins, yeah, but I've committed this one a lot, you are forgiven. You'll never overcome that until you get deep in your heart the fact that you're forgiven. The fact that you're forgiven is what will deliver you. Not focusing on, I failed again, focus on, he covered it all. And the more you focus on he covered it all, you'll begin to see that these things will fall away because it's his kindness that leads us to change and transformation. Some people, I got to go to church and get beat up again because I've been bad this week. Hallelujah. You know, if you'll focus on the goodness of God, that'll change your whole world. It'll change your life. Remember, the accuser, other people do it too, though, don't they? I can't believe how conflicted we are in the body of Christ and things we decide that we're going to hold against people. We decide that, I'm going to keep this. Yeah, but he did this, didn't he? Yeah, I think his ministry is pretty much shot, you know, because, I mean, he did this. Come on. I might allow like an unbeliever or something if they went through that, you know, but I mean, he should have known better. Yeah, he should have known better. But you know what? The blood covers that too. I cannot believe how judgmental the church is. It's just mind-boggling. Well, shouldn't we expect right? Yes, we should. But you know, sometimes even when people pursue restoration and they try to get things right, we keep records of wrong when if you're supposed to be like God, you don't remember that stuff. Not because I forgot it, I have chosen to never bring it up. See, remembering means I recall it and I bring it up. I bring it up because I'm going to use it. And people remember stuff about other people because they want to bring it up. And, yeah, they were doing good, but remember a couple years ago, didn't they go through this? Oh, yeah. We bring stuff up against other people. We literally become the embodiment of the accuser, and we tear people down. Which is wrong, man. You know, he remembers our sin no more. It's not that he doesn't forget. God makes a choice. God, because he could never forget. He's omniscient. He can't forget a thing. Aren't you glad that God makes a choice in himself to never recall your sin? Never. Never recall your sin. Some of you won't even let yourself go. Some of you won't even let yourself off the hook. But mercy is letting you off the hook. There shouldn't even be a hook. Yet we're so hard on that ourselves, we don't even know how to let ourselves go. We are constantly accusing ourselves and rehearsing and recalling over and over again, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. And we rehearse it ourselves, and we are the worst at accusing ourselves. Nobody talks to you more than you, and you've got to change yourself. Talk about you. Quit saying you could do better. Say you're awesome. You could pray more. You're awesome. You have access to the Father all the time. You can pray all the time. Quit eating from the knowledge of good and evil. Put putting yourself on a scale of achievement and just be a son who's loved and cared for and completely embrace his forgiveness. Remembers our sin no more. Number three, releases us from our iniquities. Now this is what he says. He releases. Say releases. Releases us from our, now what were iniquities? Remember, iniquities are that inward motivation. Iniquities are those things that are in our heart. Iniquity are those areas, you know, I wish I could be free of this. I wish these bents that are in me, these things that seem to push me towards these things, I wish I were free of this. I wish I could get rid of the iniquity. It's not as much that I commit things, but why can't I get rid of this inner world that doesn't seem to align itself with Christ? My iniquities. He releases us from our iniquities. Man, what is it in me that keeps driving me to that? What is it in me that gets attracted to that? It's an iniquity. But here's the good news. He releases us from our iniquities. If you have an iniquity, here's good news. You're released. If you have something that's been messing with you week after week and you accuse yourself and you even come into the presence of God and say, when will you get over that? Here's good news for you. He releases you from your iniquities. Clap for the person with iniquities, even if it's not you. He releases us from our iniquities. All right, look at this now. I got to catch up with my notes. I'm almost done. Jeremiah 31. I want you to read this, all right? I want you to read it. I want you to look at it. If you got your Bible, it's even better. Look. It says, in those days, they shall say no more. Now listen, in those days, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Jeremiah generally, when you went and got a word from him, it wasn't happy. He was the weeping prophet. You know, it was doom and gloom. And world's going to end. Jerusalem's going to burn. You're all going to go into captivity. And it was just always a bad word, you know. But then all of a sudden, Jeremiah comes out with this. And he says, in those days, there are days coming. There are days I'm looking now. I'm looking into the eternal purpose of God right now. And he says, in those days they shall say no more. No more. I read that verse earlier in Exodus where it talked about, you know, the fathers have drank sour grapes and their children's teeth are set on edge. That was all about visiting the sins, visiting the iniquities, visiting the bents, visiting the tendencies, visiting that thing, that generational issue in your life. It says they used to say that it's visited the second, the third, the fourth generation, but no more. There's a day when it's not going to get said anymore. Sadly, we're in the day where it shouldn't get said, but we keep saying it. But it says there's a day when it's going to get said no more. See, they used to say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But listen, in that day, everyone shall die for his own iniquity, and every man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Well, that's good. Now, that means I can take responsibility for my own life, but it gets better. Look at this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Say new covenant. There's a day coming, and I mean, even Jeremiah was fumbling over his words going, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is amazing stuff. I mean, I long for that day. Oh, for a day when this would, he said, behold, pay attention. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. We're living in that day. He prophesied about it, but it's today. Listen, today I will forgive their iniquities. I'll deal with those bents and slants in their life. He says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Well, how do you know it's today, Pastor? How do you know? How do you know that that's ours? How do you know that? Thanks for asking. John chapter 19. After this is Jesus on the cross, all right? After this, Jesus knowing, say knowing. What is amazing to me that you have Jesus on the cross pouring out his life, and the whole time he is conscious in that place of agony that he is fulfilling every detail of his destiny. That on the cross, while he is beaten and his blood is being poured out, there on the cross, he is still consciously aware that I am fulfilling the purpose of my Father. I have work to do. Even while I'm hanging on this cross, there are things that I have to realize, things that must be fulfilled. Even though I'm a broken bag of meat that can't even be recognized, I still have to retain my consciousness and finish the job. It's amazing. Knowing Jesus, beaten up, should have been dead, he still knows, I'm still working out the redemption of mankind. And he says, knowing that there are things that were which now accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled. Because he knew that, and because he understood the scripture, and because he understood who he was and what he should do, he said this, I thirst. Now, he did not say that because he was thirsty. He didn't say, I desperately need a drink of water. He didn't say, man, could somebody give me some painkiller? Man, this is terrible stuff. Throw me a drink. Throw me a bone. Somebody help me. This is terrible up here. No, he said, I thirst, because he had to fulfill scripture. He said, I thirst now. A vessel of sour grapes. A vessel of sour grapes was lifted up, and it was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with the sour wine, and they put it on hyssop, and they lifted it up, and they put it to his mouth, and when he had, say, received, when he had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Done. And bowing his head, he gave up a spirit, done. See, right at that place, you know, no more will it be said. No more will this saying be told in all of Israel. No more will it be said that sins are visited generationally. No more will it be said that iniquities be passed on to generation after generation. No more will that be said, because there's going to become a day where someone is going to come. There'll be a new covenant. There'll be a new day when our sins will be forgiven and our iniquities will be removed. Folks, you're forgiven. Not just forgiven of your sins, but those iniquities, those bents. If you came from a family that's full of alcoholics, well, you know, all alcoholics in our family. No, can't help myself. Well, you know, I grew up with a father who kicked the dog and cussed all the time, you know, like father, like son, you know. Great. I do it, you know, it just happens. Well, in our family, we've all got a temper. Papa had a temper. Grandpapa had a temper. I got a temper. I don't know. You know what? You've been set free. Your iniquities have been removed from you. Well, do I need to go through a $2,000 healing program? No. Jesus took the program. Jesus on the cross. He understood that scripture needed to be fulfilled. Because he wanted you to be free, he said, I thirst. What was he thirsty for? Give me one more screen. I thirst for your forgiveness. I thirst for your freedom. I thirst for your healing. I thirst for a new creation to come forth. I thirst for a rebirth of the purpose of my Father in the earth. I thirst. Sorry about my yelling. I hope I didn't offend anybody. If I offended you, get over that. Well, offense runs in my family. My mother's offended. You can get free of that. When he said, I thirst, he said, I am desperate for you to be whole. I'm desperate for sin to never be the issue anymore. I'm desperate to take that iniquitous bent in your life and to remove it from you once and for all. I am desperate to see freedom reign in every single life. And what do I got to do to walk in that? Pastor, what do I got to do? Only believe. There's no work. There's no achieve. There's no 10-step program. There's no $2,000 course on dealing with generational curses. There was one course. Do you believe this? Well, let's dig in and study it a little bit. Do you believe this? I think that's good news. You know, he's not just forgiven your transgressions, he's forgiven your iniquities, and he's completely, totally set you free. Which brings us to this place where we get to remember. And one of the things we got to remember is forget not all your benefits. He forgives all your sins. He deals with sin, he deals with the trespass, he deals with the iniquity, he covers it all so that we can be free. Amen. All right. Thank you for that. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, who's going to help me hand out the emblems today? We got somebody helping me out here. I thirst. Do you hear him say, I thirst? I thirst. I thirst. He thirsted for your freedom. He thirsted for your healing. He thirsted for your forgiveness. I mean, it is all completely done in Christ Jesus.
Who makes the power sit in darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing grace.
Yeah.
That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
Yeah.
That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of love. Nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would build. You would lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Yeah.
Conquer the grave, and worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
this so I can be set free. Set free. Now this isn't New Life Center's table. It's not even the church's table. You do have to come to church, you know. It is something where churches do it, and we do it together, and we're told when we gather to do it in remembrance of Him. But you know, you don't have to be a member of this church to participate in the table. It's the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's His table. And you know what? He did all of this so that you could come and participate. And so what we do is we're saying, yes, He did give His body for me. And I'm saying, yes, I believe that when He gave His body for me, every benefit now is mine. And it says, by His stripes we were healed. Which means that His body took every stripe. There's one stripe for the root of every disease. That's an absolute fact. There's one stripe for the root of every disease. He took every disease. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about healing next week. So come back next week and get healed. No, no. It's your benefit right now. We might talk about it next week, but it's yours today. I believe that in His body, He bore my sin, but He also bore every penalty. He also bore my sickness and all my diseases. It says we are healed. I took all of your diseases right now. And I thank you. Don't you thank you? Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that He took on a body just like mine and yours so that He could bear the penalty, that He could take disease so that I don't have to take it. Did you know that's one of the rules? If it's been paid for once, it can't be paid for again. He paid for it so that you can be free. So I just get healing? I get divine health just because of what He did? Yes. By His stripes, you're healed. Right now, you know, well, I'm going to get healed and I'm going to eat healthy. No, it says by His stripes you were healed, not His stripes and a healthy diet. It says by His stripes, oh, and some exercise too, right, Pastor? No, by His stripes you were healed. That's it. You have, you know, well, our sins are forgiven because, your sins are forgiven because of the finished work. Your body is healed because of the finished work. Right now. I command bodies in this place be well. Anything, see, iniquity also means inequitous, where there's no equity, where it doesn't equal, it doesn't line up right. If there's anything in your body that does not line up right, it says that He came and He removed your iniquity. He removed where there's no equity. He removed where there's no balance. He removes everything that is out of order, and He brings you completely in balance and completely in line with Him. I command sickness to go. You forgave. Iniquity has no place in anybody here. If there's anything that's generational in this place, if there's any diabetes, it's generational. Any heart condition, it's generational. Any generational issue, I insist right now in the name of Jesus that it has to go. It has no right. It has no legacy. It has no legal place in this place right now. If there's a legacy of addiction, if there's a legacy of brokenness, if there's a legacy, anything in your life that is inequitable in the kingdom, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I command bodies be healed right now. It is an offense to the cross that disease you would try to remain in the presence of God. And I insist that it goes. I call right now health and life and healing into everybody in the name of Jesus. Come into manifestation right now as we eat with understanding, as we eat with knowledge at your table in Jesus' name. Life. Life. Let's eat in Jesus' name. It's a cup. Aren't you glad that He drank the sour grapes? I love that it doesn't say He drank sour grapes. It says He received it. I love where He received it. You know what He did? He received it all. He received full payment. And you know, it is finished. It is finished. Literally, look it up. It is finished means paid in full. It was a term that could have been used at the market, that if you said, I want 25 potatoes, and then you gave them something back, they would stamp it, paid in full. No, when He said it is finished, He said paid in full. And it also can mean now, come forth new creation. It's finished. It's finished. Thank you for a new covenant. Aren't you wondering? Aren't you glad we got a new covenant? Aren't you glad there's a new covenant? And we're in it. We're in the one where it says, I remember your sins no more, and your iniquities I will remove from you. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm just excited. I just think it's a really good plan. I'm so glad that God's good. And I'm so glad that all I have to do is believe. You know, all you have to do is believe today. And we drink this little juice. Why do we do it? Because he said do it. To remind. Do it in remembrance. Do it to proclaim my death until I come. Because it's because of his death and resurrection. Oops. Because of his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't believe in transubstantiation. I'd probably have to lick that off the floor. You know? Can't waste any. It's a symbol. It's a type of the blood. Thank you for the blood. Well, what do you got to say for your freedom? The blood. Why should you be free? Well, I took a $2,000 course. Why should you be free? The blood. Why should you embrace all that God has for you? The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Thank you for your blood, because life is in the blood. You gave your life for my life. I drink to your life that is in me, the life of God. So thank you, Father, for this cup of blessing. We drink it now in Jesus' name.